definitions, because I didn't follow all the acronyms.
Oh, sure.
And terms. What, I didn't know what SMA was, Samuel Maharoni?
No, no, so SMA is the special management area. So you can, you wanna scroll back to the, yeah, oh. It's the red area along the coast that require additional kind of.
Thank you, great.
Yeah, so, and this is all in the EISPN, which you can also link to. There's a link on our website to download the document. It's very short, it's a quick read, 50 pages, most of it maps. Most of it maps, most of it maps and descriptions of the master plan. So, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I have
more definitions.
Sure.
Oh, the 201, yeah, 201H. Yes, yeah, so that, so there's a state law that allows affordable housing projects, which is depending on the county, 50 plus one unit or 51% of the units if they're affordable housing. They can ask for exemptions from zoning requirements. They can ask for fee exemptions in order to accelerate the production of affordable housing. So, 201H, yeah, there have been, and there's many, yeah.
And
yeah.
What?
It goes through the council. The council, county council has to approve them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there is a formal, like, application process, and it has to go through a formal approval process. Randy is here from the state agency, HHFDC. There's another avenue to get 201H approvals, but they still have to be vetted publicly, and typically the council will weigh in and planning department will weigh in. But yeah, there's two avenues to get a 201H project approved. So like if you have the wrong zoning, like you're in a commercial district, but you want to do affordable housing there, you don't have to go through the formal process of getting a zone change, right? Or actually, on county, you guys allow housing everywhere. So it's a little different here. But for most of the state other than the county of Kauai, they use the 201H to do that, to bypass a zone change designation in order to build affordable housing. Yeah.
One more definition, although I would like more on the 201H as far as what zone changes are.
Uh-huh.
Thought about. What is a market overview? And I'm sorry, I don't know this stuff.
Oh, so it's, so the market study, I should have Matt explain this. But it's basically, you know, it's a market demand for the different uses on the site. So in this case, he's looking at housing demand, affordable housing demand. He's looking at commercial. Are you doing that? Yeah, we're doing a commercial, a little middle, like a medical commercial market study. So it's basically to say there's this need, right? Clearly we have an affordable housing shortage. Yeah, so that's part of what gets rolled into the market study to support that this project is being done, right? If there was no demand for these things, it might not be justified.
From where? From us?
From the community. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's from the community. Yeah, where's the need? You know, so the market study is done to help justify why these different uses are proposed in this plan.
Thanks, I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's all good. 201H is a whole different can of worms. Again, that would just, I honestly think we're going to try to get in the special planning area designation the housing. So you really wouldn't do this unless there's some other zoning standard or regulation that you want to try to bypass. So, but I don't, we'll see. But I just put it in there. It's a catch-all. It doesn't mean that everything that's in that list is going to happen. It all depends. If we don't get our SPA, we may have to do the 201H to do the affordable housing. So, because we have the wrong zoning. We're on a one we're on a residential where you can only build one house per acre. Yeah, so the zoning is not compatible with all the different uses we're proposing.
And what's an SPA?
The SPA is the special plan.
SPA,
yeah,
sorry.
Special planning area.
Special planning.
Yeah, so it's an over. It's going to be a zoning overlay that will basically be our zoning amendment to make sure everything we're proposing in the master plan is consistent with our zoning designation as managed by our county planning department. Yeah. No problem. It's a lot. Any other clarifications? Otherwise, we can, yeah.
There was a flowchart of the EIS process.
Yes.
Can you shoot that back right
sure.
there? I want to see that.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, we basically.
Don't have any other dates?
What? Hello. Technically, what we're trying to do, again, is to get through the EIS process in parallel with our special planning area, our SPA. So we are targeting, don't hold me to this, but we are targeting the fall for the draft EIS this year and hoping to get to final acceptance of the EIS in the spring. So that tees up with the county's East Kauai Community and Circulation Plan process, which the SPA will be a part of. They are trying to get to Planning Commission in the fall. I hope you've disclosed this because now it will be. They're trying to get to the Planning Commission in the fall for approval and then County Council in the spring. So that's what.
County Planning Commission?
Yeah, our planning.
Those guys?
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, you're county guys. Yeah, this is, yeah. So yeah, so Alan and the team at the Planning Department is working on the update of that really old regional plan for East Kauai. Yeah. So that's why we have this ambitious plan, but that's the hope. So yes, no dates, Doug, but that's our targets. That's our targets. Okay. Any other like clarifying questions like that? Oh, sure.
I'm kind of concerned about these little changes that were made to this master plan since we last met. For instance, it was my understanding that the library was going to be where the
No, the library's still there. It's in exactly the same place. It's actually in the same place. We just adjusted it because, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it's. So it's right at the top of the boardwalk. It's on that little
block.
Oh, it might have shifted a little bit, but it's yeah. Oh, okay.
So, you know, when the library was going to be in the old doctor's house, which is okay, but that open area that everybody who uses the boardwalk appreciates is kind of getting encroached in that, and you've got the library going, and then what's going to be the next?
So it's so the old library was not where Dr. Kim's house was. It was either going to get kept or demolished. So it I think it shifted a little bit, but only the width of the parking strip. So it didn't go that far down because we were always going to build another building between the library and Ho'olohui. Yeah. So I don't think it shifted that much. It's not because the Dr. Kim's house was actually where Easter Seal's new home was going to be, and we had another building that went right over the Dr. Kim's building. So it's,
okay,
yeah.
And then that road, that
little
road that goes
up to Kauai House.
You know,
the Mimilo Road, yeah.
No, Iwaena.
Yeah. But
you know what? I think that this kind of impacts the little subdivision.
Yeah. And so that's why, yes, and that was always in the plan. So that was in the plan before. And that's why we're proposing kind of traffic improvements in that area too.
I think we need to keep it open.
For road. Yeah, we're trying to connect the green space of Gore Park so it becomes more usable with the uses that are there. So yeah, that was in the plan though from before. But that's why we also have some improvements to make, you know, the intersection at Kawaihao easier to navigate to get in and out, and then we'll have traffic calming to slow cars as they're coming up, because it's a little bit of a blind approach. Honestly, we talked to Dr. Behrman because she's also on our working group. So there's a sight line issue there too, that she's her plants. I think it's her plants that are encroaching, so it's hard to see. So like, can you clear that a little bit? But that will all be worked out in our traffic study too, to make sure. Yes, Dottie.
Is access to the library by Mimilo, from Mimilo?
So access to the library, no, it's gonna be off the Loop Road.
Okay.
Yeah, it's off the Loop Road. Yeah, they just had to extend the parking a little bit. I actually have been advocating for them to get rid of that strip of parking in front of it so it doesn't separate that way. So They finished their preliminary design. They are going to move into actual, like architectural design. So these are all things that we will let them know, see if there's a way to not have that little strip and then pull it up the slope for that issue. I don't, what do you call it? I can't remember how many stalls are in that strip in front of the library, but yeah. Yeah, we understand. But it's not, there's not gonna be a roadway connection there. Yeah, actually Scott's already working on interim connection from the Loop Road for the infrastructure to it, so yeah. They would be off the Loop Road.
I have a simple question.
Sure.
I just want to, it's a process question. So in this process, when you get feedback, you want the feedback on the environmental impact statement process or what goes in the buildings or different design features?
So what we're collecting tonight is what you guys want us to study as part of the EIS. So do you have traffic concerns? You know, do you have viewplane concerns? It's all of the different kind of environmental analyses that go into a draft EIS that we're looking for comments on. Yeah.
So a number of questions. One is, if you're concerned about the traffic and the viability of a library, why don't you put it on the other side where it's right next to the schools and the public so people have access to the library, including all those three schools that are over there, instead of putting it down in the area where we currently have homeless people and problems.
That was okay. So yeah, and
now you have it in an area which is a major problem area. But if you had it over here along Clyhow, next to all the schools,
yeah.
So you got a high school, Catholic school, elementary school, and all the hospital people could all end up using the library as opposed to having it hidden away where nobody can get to.
Well, it's near the bike path.
Yeah, it's near the bike path, and the concept of the library being there was we wanted to protect the public space. So the concept was to have that be an anchor for the boardwalk, so you have community people in that space as opposed to the homeless people there. And then what the way that the building is designed is that there's a gathering space in the back so that everybody can still come to that area and enjoy the view. They talked about doing community activities in that green space by the boardwalk, at the top of the boardwalk, such as like community movies or, you know, just outdoor kind of community uses. So that was the vision and the concept there.
So people won't be able to drive the library then?
No, they can. They just need to park on the off the Loop Road in the parking.
Have you walked that area?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous, so we wanted to protect that for public use. So we have the library there so people can still come and enjoy the view at that area. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take out that idea of going by turns.
If
I can say something about the library from my own personal reaction to what's going on. You have an opportunity to do a really beautiful, architecturally beautiful library that I think would enhance the community if we were interested in spending that money, not making it look like Princeville, but having that kind of difference. And having it here, it's all crowded in. Can you move it back here so you get this beautiful view of the ocean and maybe have underground parking? Because I don't know how much parking you're planning for this.
So,
but,
yes.
This is all impacting our neighborhood in here. All the traffic, all the parking, all the stuff, it's right here. And you could do it here. It could still be accessible through the boardwalk path.
Yeah,
and
the access there is actually
gentleman in the neighborhood
difficult. Yeah.
Talk about this Loop Road you're saying, but I mean, I really wish you would consider at least taking advantage of the fact that we could have a really beautiful library here if we just put the time into it instead of just plunking it right here.
Yeah, so where you were pointing at the bottom is inaccessible because of Kovaihau Road and the topography. Yeah.
Okay,
so yeah, you can't, it's all
right here,
no, that whole thing is a gulch. It just drops. It's drainage. It's yeah, everything, the drainage is rushing through that area. And so KPAL is there under a lease. That may
that would be a beautiful place for a library too. And again, just thinking about things like
Mm-hmm.
So that that parking is not just all over our neighborhood, like right in parking.
Yeah.
That's what you see. And I can see all this stuff from my kitchen window. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to be looking at that.
Yeah, so some of the other buildings we do have that tuck under. It is really expensive, but we'll take note of all these comments. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
No. No, no, that's good. That's fine.
How much parking is being allotted for the library?
Do you remember how many? Okay. Well, let's get to the... oral comments. We have one person that did sign up, but definitely write down your comments and your thoughts about all of these things. We will definitely take them down. So who is it? Justin Jensen? Yeah, if you could speak into the microphone, that would be great.
Thank you for your time there. So a couple things I had in mind. I am the resident that lives right over there, and you guys are gonna put a roundabout right in my driveway, right in front of me. It doesn't sit well with me. This whole thing is gonna create so much traffic already. So my question to you is, with all the traffic that we have on the main road already, and you guys are gonna pack everything, having affordable housing, you said, how is that making sense by adding more people to the already bad traffic we have down by Kalia to Kapaa?
Yeah. So we will have the traffic study done. And as, I don't know if you were here when I talked about those roundabouts. I did ask our traffic engineer to study that. So he's looking at different options. So that will come out in our traffic study. And we have the connector road to help relieve traffic off of Kabaiha Road, so.
Okay, to me, it just doesn't make sense. It's already packed already. We're gonna have more people over here, and we're adding more traffic by Kalia and who knows what now. So, just doesn't make sense to me at all. And the second thing is, who do I need to talk to about this roundabout right in front of my house? Because it's not sitting well with me at all.
Yeah, we can, like I said, we'll have the traffic study done and we can talk about that as we develop the traffic study. So, yeah.
So what is your answer to this whole thing by adding more people onto the added traffic on top of that?
We're having the traffic study. So unfortunately, I don't have the answers yet. And that's part of this EIS process.
Okay.
So we'll have a traffic study to look at all of your concerns and questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a contact number that we can speak with?
Yeah, just email and write it down. And yeah, it's us. It's basically us. Yeah, and we're recording it. So it will be part of the analysis on the traffic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, of course. Is there anyone else that wanted to write on the scope of the EIS? Yes.
My name is Larry Fernandez, born and raised in Kauai. Been involved in the community from day one, the whole parents, everything, was this is our community. Okay, so I'm gonna choose a couple of things. Don't get me mad. I'm a little bit upset because this is too much we go through and nobody listens to the community. Okay, so first of all, Lance, thank you very much. The last couple of meetings, you promised the community that the ER would be totally built with 15 beds before any other project is done on this property. Is that still an option? Or are you gonna hold to your word?
That is still in the plan. So
it's in the plan, but we're gonna build before we do the ER.
Actually, that's not gonna happen. The ER is probably gonna happen before any of the buildings.
ER is going total, fully ER with 15 beds. That's what you told the community. So that's going to happen before any of this happens. This EIS can be approved. Everything can be approved. You can do our ER first.
The renovation of the ER already has funding. So it will precede any housing development.
Okay, so the ER fully, ER with 15 beds. Thank you. We came to so many of these meetings. One more thing I'd like to say. With the community, I'm really upset that you guys hold a meeting at 4:30 when all the younger generation is still working. They need to come here, but it's going to affect their life. Half of us going to be dead by the time this come out. Okay, I know I'm going to be gone because they take on it a good. I'm going to be gone a long time ago. Okay. But we got to talk to the community. We don't just put on one meeting and just say, okay, we hold one meeting and we got community input by 3-4 people. But the ones going to really get impact is our young generation in this community. They got to be here. They got to know, understand what's going to happen in their backyard, what's going to happen to next to the school. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this 4:30 on one day is a no-no. That's all a sham. It's food shame. Well, we did one meeting, but you guys not listening to the community. Okay? So the next meeting is coming up. Advertise. If I never get that email, I wouldn't have known. I never hear them on the radio. I never hear them nowhere. You guys going to reach out to the community, you reach out to the community. You guys put in the work for the community. Not we bend over for you guys when you guys can come or when you guys like come. Okay? Remember that. Okay? Okay, the traffic. I came to so many of these meetings. I was involved in so many community meetings, master plan meetings. What we talked on the last meeting? Nothing. Nothing that the community said is there. Everything that you guys originally said, it's there. We didn't want a store. We didn't want this. We wanted to move things. It's all out there yet. Nobody listened to the community. So Lance and you, thank you. You talked about we preserving the area back there for future. Mm-hmm. Why we not build back there first and save this for the future in case we got to make traffic, in case we got to change things? Why are we locking up Quahog Road? Eh? Why we not move them all back and save this front portion for the next 20 years, mm-hmm. like you said, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin, next question. The library going to move. Terrific. What's right in front of the library? I said this before. Cooley Highway. The library fall down, Cooley Highway going to fall down. Where are we going to put the road if we do all this? Right? When Cuyo Highway fall down in the next 30, 40 years, we're going to have to come up this way to get around, which that shoreline would fall down. Okay? No ifs, ands, or buts about if and when it happens. Okay? Again, we're not going to be here. Okay, I really upset on the word of traffic calming. No, we got to fix the traffic. If you guys out here after school, before school, or when we have a community event, it's horrendous. It's totally unsafe. The new roundabout or kidney stone roundabout that we built, all we did was move the problem down the road. We never solved nothing. So all these roundabouts is an easy way out, but it don't solve nothing. We have to make proper traffic, expansion of road, double lanes, whatever it takes to move the traffic safety. You guys ever sat out here after school or before school? You guys ever sat out here? Now you tell me, is that safe? Parking on the sidewalk? Kids walking all over the place. Make my sidewalk now even more on that road. It's ridiculous, people. How many housing units when this whole thing get built? How many housing units could be on this property?
What's that? 400. 498.
498.
498.
So 500 times 500. Two, that's two per car. Uh-huh. So 1,000 cars a day plus another 3,500 people in this whole process. Mm-hmm. Like the brother said, some traffic, some congestion, some unsafe for our community.
Right.
Okay? We're going to build, we need housing, we need medical, we need everything, but we're going to build communities, people. We're not just going to put things up to solve one problem. All these agencies, that's like solve their problem. If they're in the housing, we just put housing. Right? We don't care how it impacts, making we do our share. No, we got to work all together. Okay? Now, these roads, I can talk so many meetings. Not one thing I said, other people said, not even on that map at all. Okay? Our main concern for the school. Okay? We don't have a store, 7-Eleven, one ABC right next to the school where the kids going to be crossing the street, they're buying all kinds of junks. Mm-hmm. And everybody know any convenience store got to sell liquor or vices to survive. Okay? On that map, show one store. Okay? All our meetings, nobody wanted that store there. So my thing again, okay, why we don't move this whole project, okay, and save this section for the future, like you said, Lance, okay, because you're thinking of the future. Mm-hmm. We build back there, down here is always open for the next 30, 40 years. Okay? But we lock them up, nothing can happen. We're screwing up our community. Okay, the next thing is, you're gonna build a sewer plant? Is that a sewer plant? In the, this is a massive development. Are you not gonna get a sewer system?
That's all part of the preliminary engineering study that we'll be doing. So Scott will be looking at wastewater.
So
yep.
Not gonna be on a map originally.
The plant won't be here. Right now we have the commitment from the county that they could connect us to their sewer. So they're updating their facility plan for the Wailua wastewater treatment plant. And they said that.
Who you talk to in a county that said that?
That's Troy Tanigawa from Public Works. Yeah.
Okay, so the next week you can have Troy here to answer our questions too. Because it's a fix. All us up here gotta put septic systems and all kind of things, they cost us big money. You're gonna put on massive subdivision here, massive development, and go tie into another sewer system that we don't can tie into. It's not cool for the community.
It's not an existence.
Okay? The next thing is the traffic, this road design, Scott, but you gotta do better work than that. Or your community or people. You gotta talk to the community. Come sit out here doing school, doing volleyball games, basketball games, and after school. You gotta fix this road for be safe and traffic flows. Not just put on roundabout and as an excuse, oh, the roundabout works. No, it don't work all the time. Okay? You know, I carry on badge and gun for 40 years, so I know this community real good. Okay?
Maybe just to clarify too, as we design that loop road, this new loop road that's gonna go around the community, we're working with the schools to try to manage their issue with drop off and pickup. So that will be part of the master plan. And then the roundabout we're talking about is the one at the highway. So this connector road is meant to help relieve traffic. So they have another way other than Kauai Hall to get in and out.
Why are we never drawing that road expansion and drawing everything for that road now? That road sits exactly now. So if this thing get passed, nobody gonna fix our roads by the school.
It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the master plan is to do this loop road, right? So Kauai Hau is here. So this loop road is to help bring traffic this way to the highway. So they're not overburdening Kauai Hau. So that's
Look at the map. Where's the majority of the housing and everything? It's right on that side of the road, right by the school. People are not going to drive all the way around to get out. They're going to cut right by the school and get out fast as they can. Human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that silent road around that school is going to be massively.
Yep. So that's part of the design. Yep. And the traffic study. Yep.
So we should have drawn all that in. That way people like me don't get upset.
You
should have drawn all that.
Yeah. So that's there. It's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now my next question, maybe for the next meeting. What is affordable housing?
It's going to be affordable rental housing. We don't know yet exactly.
Okay, before we build them, we better let people know.
Yes.
After we build them, like we build so many projects, then it's $5,000 or $3,500 for rent them. The local people cannot rent them.
Mm-hmm.
So before even this thing being built, you guys got to set limits on how much rent going to be, what going to happen. Okay? Not just build them and expect people to come. That thing is wrong. This is a massive. Now, we have a housing problem on Kauai. We have homeless, houseless, whatever we want to call them. It's on social issue. We don't can dump everything on Kauai District. This is on whole island wide. Mm-hmm. Get people from wherever, homeless. Stop putting everything in Kauai. Yeah? This is ridiculous, the amount of housing in one unit, one development, to take all of burden. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't leave.
That's great.
Yeah. Now, all I'm going to say is talk to the people. Okay? No, make one meeting at 4:30 and everybody else working. Yeah? It's our community. We have a say. And when we tell something, you guys should listen. Not just go, yeah, and bottom me up and let me walk away and no do. Yeah? With all what we talked about, all our last meetings, nothing was changing. Nothing. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mike.
Just a quick follow-up on the transportation, because you're going to hear this from everywhere. It's consistent. Nadine, so you've been updated. DOT just told us that they're the roundabout and advancement of the two-way bypass road at the bottom of Kauaihao. They've been telling us for the last 5 years that they had a line of funding. And I just got word yesterday that they have no funding now, and it's not on the state's plan for DOT to update. So whatever is planned up here, you have a bottleneck down at the bottom of the hill. On Kauai, transportation is a big issue. So everything they're expressing their frustration, it's the frustration that all of us get when we get stuck in traffic all the time on the little island. And coming from state DOT, it's, you know, they're the ones that have to fix the highway and the bypass road because it's not county's responsibility. So anything you're going to do here, push, you're going to have to reach out to state DOT as well. Okay, thanks. Yep.
That will definitely happen. Anyone else? Yeah.
Just two things. I think the roundabouts are really bad ideas. I really am sad to hear that you're not even thinking about this guy's driveway, and he's in our community. The other roundabout is so close to the ocean. How long do you think that's going to last? Just wondering, because that is an issue on this island, and that you can see the ocean in the picture where you put it. It's really, really close.
It's up on top of the hill.
Up on top of the hill?
It's not where the...
Here's the ocean.
But there's the big cliff.
Okay. And I didn't see veteran housing.
So the housing right now hasn't been decided, but definitely veteran housing, right? We talked about transitional housing. We talked about housing with Department of Hawaiian Homelands. It's all still potential here. So the plan is meant to be general on purpose so that can all filter in as Lance moves through implementation. So even the price points that Uncle Larry, you mentioned, all of those things as Lance starts to move through the actual development projects. And it may be that other state agencies like HHFDC, where Randy Chu is, that's the Hawaii Housing, Finance and Development Authority, he will be able to work on affordable housing. So those price points, if there are certain price points that you want us to look at, absolutely put those down, because I think all of these things, veterans housing, all of that is still on the table. We're keeping it general so that we can figure it out as we go, as funding comes available. So those are all still in the plan, even though they're not designated, it's still in the plan. So if I missed it in the description of the proposed housing, let me know, because we will add that back in. It should be in the EISPN, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that, but all of those different types of affordable housing that we mentioned, other than it needs to be rental, it's still in the master plan. So, sorry.
Well,
anyone?
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You know, I think for us to, as a community, different kinds of housing. For us as a community, all these different kinds of housing, I really think you should designate a little bit more clearly for us. We're looking at this plan now, and this is our community. I don't know if that's getting across to you, because I feel the same way this gentleman did. You're not listening to us. There are those of us who have spoken out against the police substation. And, you know, I don't feel we're being listened to. Okay, so you can't have everything. But, you know, I think you should, you know, be planning for veteran housing. We don't have it on this island. It's been brought up at these meetings, and it's been brought up very concisely and passionately. And I think it should be like on the map now. I mean, I really think even if you had to move where it is, we should be knowing that this is something that, yes, that's a positive about this plan, because I'm not seeing as many positives as I hope to see tonight on this plan. There was one other thing besides her comment about the parking. You know, there's 498 houses. That is almost 1,000 cars if you think about 2 cars for every home. And, you know, we still don't know who's going to be accessing that housing. And one more question for Lance. The transitional housing for our
mentally challenged people,
right.
Health people.
Right.
They're going to be transitioning with jobs, right?
Some of them will. Yes.
Are the plans? How are they going to get to their jobs? Because they don't have cars and stuff, right?
The program for that population has not been really vetted yet. So we're really at the beginning stages of looking at what the needs are for transitional housing. So I don't want to speak to it because there's not a lot of information that we have that we can say, okay, this is the program, this is the population we're going to go after to support. So it's early. All we're saying is that space in the back, we're going to designate for some type of transitional housing for behavioral health individuals. I mean, that's as general as it can be. Just because we don't want to be without space as we start to develop some of the programs. I wanted to ask you a question about the veterans.
Uh-huh.
Can you be specific, when you say veterans housing, specifically, are you talking about independent living? Are you talking about long-term care?
Okay. Our veterans on Kauai, and
okay.
He's much more of an eloquent right. speaker than myself, but I don't see him here tonight. Otherwise,
I think I know who you're talking about.
Right away.
Yeah.
Ed Kawamura.
So our conversations and with
so
Ed.
What he's yeah. asking, on Kauai, you grow up, you go into the Army,
understand.
Serve your nation, you get to a point where you need a little extra help with housing, assisted living, right. or, you know, even something more medically. You have to go to Hawaii, to the Big Island,
right.
or
right.
to Oahu. You can't right. even stay where you're, you know, that's, to me, should be a priority. And like I said, yeah. I'm not the eloquent speaker on this.
No. No, Ed,
but
Ed
definitely. I hear him just like I'm hearing other people in the community are frustrated by some of the things that are still on the plan, and we've said don't really like that. You know, we can't solve the whole housing crisis on
Oahu. An independent veterans home, like the one they have on Oahu and Hawaii Island, the Veterans Administration. They've already determined, based on numbers, there's not going to be a home built on Kauai. But we are talking to them about them designating beds for veterans that can be housed at Samemahalona. That is the best we can do, because we believe that we want to keep our veterans on Kauai. So we're having that conversation. And there's been a breakthrough. Yes, they're open to it. So how many is really the next discussion, right? How many beds do we want to designate at Samemahalona for veterans that need long-term care? That's the conversation.
And I guess you just have to find out what the numbers are.
Right, right. Because they have to approve it, you know, and so we are definitely addressing it. I wish I could have said to Ed that, yes, we're going to have a home built on Kauai for Kauai veterans. That's not going to happen. Yeah. So.
Maybe someday.
I'm not going to say never.
Yep.
Right? I'm not going to say never. Yeah.
That
so,
to me is just
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
That
so.
We can't do that. And we can't.
So we're doing what we can to advocate for our Kauai based veterans.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just spoke to someone.
Hi, my name's Mia Checkley. I just wanted to make a comment. I think this is a really good opportunity to address some missing middle housing. Sometimes we see when, like in Chinatown, there was such a high density of low income or very affordable housing. And we saw the result of that, right, by having that so many affordable in one area. And so this would be a great opportunity to address the missing middle. My three children are all adults. They all live in our family home in Wailua House Lots. And none of them can afford to buy a house, right? And so even an affordable rental that is great for a small family, but not so affordable that they're, you know, they make too much money to get an affordable housing. So I think it's a really good opportunity. And then I'm very big on green and open spaces, and I like that you've retained so much of that. With that many kids, just make sure that we have enough recreation facilities, basketball courts, pickleball well, I know it's controversial because it's loud, pickleball, but basketball, skate park, all those types of things to help keep them out of trouble. Thank you.
Just, you know, on July 8th, the county's having an affordable housing meeting. Alan, do you know where it's at?
The housing agency? What? I'll have to look it up. I can get it for them.
It's on July 8th.
I have that on my schedule. Thank you.
Anyone? Yeah.
This is a fairly small detail, but Gore Park, as it is now, the main thing it's used for is people parking that are going on the boardwalk. So I think you should include some kind of parking for those people. Otherwise, they're going to park all along the roads, and it's going to be a problem because that is the access point for the boardwalk there, which is very well used.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Well, what? Yeah. Oh, please.
Yeah. My name is Rachel. I live in the community. Very much impacted by this. Very much not happy by this. The gentleman, I can't agree with him enough, and I'm so glad. It feels as if he hadn't asked the question, how many houses, we would not have been answered, and we would not be walking out of here tonight knowing that 1,000 more people are going to be impacting our environment. I hadn't thought about the sewer treatment until he asked the question. And I'm just wondering, is this just a meeting where, sorry, I get a little upset. Is this just a meeting where we're checking a box, we're pretending to listen, we're going to go back, and we're just going to do what we want to do anyway because we're the government, we can. And as a neighborhood who's going to be impacted by the price of our housing, for example, it's going to be lowered, not obviously to be affordable, but you're going to impact our, which by the way is in violation of the Fifth Amendment of our U.S. Constitution, because government cannot and outside entities cannot impact the value of our homes without our consent. And I feel like that's what's being done. We're trying to express to you that we're not that happy about this development, but it's happening regardless, right? And I'm just wondering if this meeting is just checking a box, and the next time we have a meeting, we're going to, surprise, here it is, it's done. And we're just covering calendar events, but you're not understanding that you're impacting a community in a huge way. And somebody's getting funding, and somebody's getting some gold stars, and somebody's getting some, you know, great journalistic awards for this. Meanwhile, you're not considering that there are schools, there are kids. And by the way, it's 2025. I don't understand why we're building a library, because no offense, I'm a former English teacher, but people really don't use libraries anymore. To me, that seems like a huge waste of space. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is true. We don't use libraries anymore. Bookstores are closing. Why are we having that? It just seems like we're not really understanding what we're doing here, but we have these funds, so let's hurry up and build some things. But it's not addressing real needs in this community anyway.
Thank you. I think we should all think about the community, really.
Just a clarification on the library concept.
Just talking. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ku'ule. We live right off the main road. I could actually point it out over here. Right over here. Right now we have a partial ocean view, but they want to build that building. In addition to that, the roundabout and a whole nother road. It's just crazy because my grandparents had bought in that property long ago, and it's been in our family, and now it's in my care. And to see all these changes happening is kind of nerve-wracking. And like she was just saying, is this something we just talk about and do? And I feel like the span of this project is over, you know, decades and decades. And I'm probably one of the youngest people here, me and my other half. So maybe when we're older, you know, this will be happening, but it's like Are you just gonna kind of continue on and wait for everyone to kind of die off and not say anything to keep this from happening? I totally support like the public services, but I feel like there's a lot of things that need to be addressed here, just like the parking by Gore Park, because if that's gonna be a park and people are gonna try access the boardwalk, it's just gonna be really congested and crowded. The green spaces are amazing. I see Nene geese in the field all the time, and yeah, and people like to walk their dogs around there, and I just feel like we're turning into like Maui or Oahu, and that's not what Kauai is about, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name's Brad Trawick. I'm the other half of the pretty lady there. But, you know, we had looked at the different designs and, you know, we put our input into it. And, you know, I do appreciate the fact that you've changed where you wanted to have the police substation. To have that across from Gore Park is like a nightmare to think about, you know, the boardwalk and using Gore Park as a parking lot to park your cars, you know. So I kind of, to some degree, can appreciate where the substation is proposed, although I don't really like it. But I also can appreciate having another exit to be able to get out of there. The fact that you're keeping Kim's property, I think is what you refer to it, Dr. Kim, that's a plus. The Gore Park is a plus, substation somewhere else is a plus, the road going out is a plus. Those are positive things. But it is true that a lot of people aren't using the library anymore, you know, just like Rachel said. And that is a sloping area that I know one of our neighbors, I think she already left, but, you know, tried out her back window. How's that going to work out? I don't know. But having that many people in an area providing housing, I totally get it from a business standpoint. This is state land, and it's free, in a sense, to build on. I get that, you know, and you can put it more into the infrastructure instead of buying the land and doing it too. But I don't really think it's really too much of our responsibility too to have that much housing for people. I don't. You know, there's a sacrifice to live here. There's a sacrifice to buy and to build and to create, you know. And, you know, I don't really see how 1,000 cars is going to be a good situation. So that's just my 2 cents on it.
Let me just offer one clarification on the library, since it keeps coming up. They recognize that the state public libraries recognize that people don't, it's not book heavy. So what their concept is to be a community learning center. So they would have computers for those who don't have it. They actually in other communities have music instruments you can rent and learn there. You can rent movies and CDs. So they really will cater what happens at the library to what the community wants. So I think through their process, it'd be great for you guys to get involved too, because they're really expanding. It's not just about books. And actually, I think half, don't quote me on that, but a big part of what they're planning there is not for books. It's meant to be a community resource center and learning space. So, yeah. We can ask the library. I think there was a reason they couldn't combine them, but we can ask them. We'll ask them.
If you look at the Kapa'a High Library, as well as the Kapa'a Elementary Library, which is new and it's beautiful, and thank you, Nadine, for getting the funds to finish it years ago. But, you know, look at that too. But, you know, I'm a library fan, so I'm soft spot.
Anyone else?
You
you're still going to have a bottleneck and a lot of quiet how and how. Anyway you dice it, there's going to be a bottleneck down there. So, if I mean, roundabouts are kind of, that they are what they are, but there's one needed there more than probably anywhere. And I feel for the neighbors, they're going to have it in their front yard because, you know, obviously they worked hard. They passed on their property. They did everything basically right. And then to have a roundabout that they've got to go out of the driveway on. I lived in the Honolulu for 7 years right on the highway, you know, and I had to start out at 20 miles an hour when I left the driveway, you know. So I don't want them to be impacted, but when you got 1,000 cars, you're going to be impacted.
We'll have the traffic study look at that, whether it can operate okay without the roundabouts. But their preliminary was no, but they'll keep looking at it and happy to keep in touch.
So the EIS process that will study all of the various impacts, including traffic, infrastructure support, will determine whether or not this current plan is feasible.
So the EIS will disclose all of the impacts, all of that will come out. And so what happens next with what actually gets done, right, is that next step.
I do wanna
say this. I appreciate all of everyone's passion and emotion. And there is no way that we wanted this project to be in your backyard or your front yard so that now it affects your property and where it becomes such a pain point. It's not supposed to be a pain point. So I just need, for my own sense of sanity, look at this vision, this picture. And for starters, we're committed to the EIS process, okay? We're gonna go through with it. If all the yellow was gone, there was no yellow buildings. So what is yellow? Housing, right? All of it gone. What's your reaction? Imagine all the yellow is gone. So now we're talking about a hospital campus that's going to try to integrate some services, allowing the hospital to expand services, right? So it's primarily that. So all the yellow's gone. How would you react to that?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Like I just said earlier,
yeah.
If you do the hospital,
right,
the community needs,
right,
all the infrastructure that the community as a whole needs,
right,
housing is one issue that community.
I understand, needs. Understand.
If all that gets built first and our community gets a hold of it, get medical, get everything where our community needs 62% of the population.
Okay. Okay.
Then in the future,
right,
okay, 20 years down the road, wherever,
right,
then we put in housing,
right,
and we plan it correctly. And
right,
you get the future infrastructure impact of this whole area.
Okay.
Then it's a goal.
Okay. Now, workforce housing, as most of you know, has been a big issue for us on the hospital side as well as the school side. So there is some plans for workforce housing, very, very focused, that we got to try to make happen as soon as possible. Okay. But beyond that, you know, the rest of it is definitely part of the long-term plan. And so, you know, I hear what you're saying, that we can plan it. Now, the EIS will help us do some realistic visioning with it. We can't, why would we do it if we cannot support it infrastructurally, right? That wouldn't make sense. Nobody wants gridlock in the streets. The hospital doesn't want that. We have issues, ambulance, all of that. We don't want that, right? So all those things, I think have to be vetted for sure. Yeah.
For me, in most of the community, we've been through so much of this.
I know.
And the government,
I get it.
Backstab us.
I get it.
Give the meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they build whatever they like. You know, listen, our town is a mess. New town is a mess.
Right.
I mean, many meetings. Nobody listens because discounted. The lady said discounted.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all it matters. Nobody really sees nothing. Yeah, this is, we need it, but this is good. How will it impact? Is that what? Get money, the governor said we're going to build housing, so let's just build. Mm-hmm. Let's burn the money. That's all our taxpayer money. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's burn the money the best way possible. Planning for the total future. Okay? Not just, okay, since we get money, we're going to put housing. The governor explained it as his proposal. So he gives 20 million, we're going to burn them. No, let's spend it correctly in the right way to do it. That's my main thing.
No, I get it.
The right thing, not just get money, burn them. With the legislation that will give us next year, burn them. Burn them. Look at the island as a whole also, not just okay? What are you, houses. Who will fill them with? Will make people transfer from West Side? They don't like live here, they don't like what they got, so what they can afford. Right. Maybe take some of their money, move on West Side. Put housing on West Side, maybe North Shore. North Shore can just be much homeless as far as this year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I got one other question.
Okay.
The EIS, who is doing the EIS?
We are. So come up.
Okay, so when the next meeting comes out, on whenever, 45 days, will all the people, all the participants who was in the EIS at a CA and be in this room? Would I like to ask each of them one question? I don't want somebody to talk on their behalf. If they're an engineer and they say one roundabout words, I like him to explain to me. I like to explain the housing agency just because they're gonna burn money. Yeah? I think that's what the community needs. Whoever says Troy, whoever says open their mouth for this project, make sure they hear to answer questions from the community.
Yep.
As a whole.
Can do.
Thank you.
And I like that idea because part of the EIS is to look at alternatives.
Right.
So we can definitely study an alternative with no housing if that's an option, right? And so we'll go through that too. And
time for the meeting. 6:30 is a good better time.
Yeah.
Around, you know, that should be right. We'll make most
6:30. We could plan for the next community meeting.
Advertise. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Put the school community. Put them in the newspaper. Yeah. Put them in the radio.
Okay.
Like, you guys' email is fantastic, but it's only the people who come to the meetings. Some people are here inside. They cannot come.
Okay.
And it cannot just be one, maybe it has to be
6:30?
Two.
6:30? Right.
No.
Okay,
6:30. Work two jobs.
Okay. Yeah. All good input. Anything else?
I have to reiterate the convenience store. That brings problems.
Okay.
Maybe I can clarify. The convenience store
probably got misstated. So what we were thinking is, if you're coming to the hospital and you're going to go to pick up medication, in the pharmacy, you would be able to buy some things. It was never meant to be a 7-Eleven concept at all. So, you know, and again, we were kind of thinking about our elderly patients coming to the hospital to see their doctor. I got to go get drugs, get some blood drawn. Oh, I got to pick up some, you know, over-the-counter stuff. That was the thinking. Now we're also thinking about a cafe where people can come and have a meal. And so again, that was the concept. Right now we have a lot of people coming to the hospital for food. We're part of the whole Meals on Wheels program. So we have people coming on foot to get lunch. You know, so the word is getting out that you can get a decent meal here. So, you know, we're gonna kind of continue working with that. So
that in the blue area?
Was that?
We should move away from the school even more then. If we're going to have that much traffic.
Right.
We don't want the kids seeing that and trying to run across the street.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking if the kids wanted to come over to the cafe to grab a sandwich, that's okay too. You know, and, you know, because it's close, they can get a good snack. But, I mean, definitely we can think about that. You know, what makes more sense. Yes. Yeah, the cafe is in the blue area.
Oh, it's up right here.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember, we also have plans for a senior daycare. So, you know, for some of those individuals too, being able to grab a meal, you know. So, again, that's all the hospital programs that we're kind of contemplating. We're projecting that as time goes on, a lot of families may need some support with their care support for their seniors. So having it right here It's convenient. So, yes.
Can you say again, I remember way back in, was it 2018 when we were walking the back area?
Right, right.
How many new beds have you been able to expand for the elderly who have long-term care?
What's that? Oh, okay, can you repeat the question?
The hospital expansion.
Okay, sorry.
Elderly beds,
so,
and then also for...
How many more additional long-term care beds have we added?
How many have you been able
to... We haven't been able to add anything yet in the plan because we're still going through a lot of renovation. So ultimately, our plan is to add additional beds to get us to 80-bed capacity. 80 total beds for long-term care.
And
that's our long-range plan.
And still assisted living housing for elderly?
We're doing some very preliminary conversations with potential assisted living players, but right now the hard plan is to add more long-term care beds to get us to 80. That's the plan. Okay, so.
Anything else? Anyone? There's still time to submit comments. June 9th is the public period, 30-day comment period closing. Again, everything is on our project website, planmahelona.com. If you wanted to send in written comments to the mail, these are the two addresses. It goes to Lance and myself. Again, you can also email. So it's planmahelona@gmail.com. If you need the addresses to go, we have them on a little slip of paper. If you want to mail, Kira has them and we can get them up front. Otherwise, if you want to jot them down and just drop it in the box, we'll take them tonight as well. So with that, thank you all for coming.
And thank you for doing this. It's nice to have a voice, but again, when you're doing this and planning this and making these grandiose decisions for other people, I personally would really like you to think about your home, what you would want, and more importantly, if this were your childhood home, how you would want it impacted, because you're affecting a lot of people, and I think you're getting awfully caught up in checking a few boxes and not thinking about the long term and the overriding personal effects that it's having on people and generational homes. I mean, this is unbelievable, but thank you for letting us voice and for hearing us, I hope.